and welcome to the second season of Seniors in the Building. We are four friends exploring aspects of aging together. Our conversations run the gamut from humorous to serious to maybe outrageous. We hope to hear from new voices this year as we invite guests into our conversations. Thanks for being with us. Hi, welcome to Seniors in the Building. I'm Signe.
I'm Jack.
I'm Elaine.
And I'm Rick. Welcome. Christmas, Easter, Yom Kippur, national holidays, ethnic celebrations, anniversaries, birthdays, graduations, personal achievements. Today we're going to look at what do we celebrate? Why do we celebrate? What celebrations are special to us? We're going to look at the upside and memorable and the downside and avoidable aspect of celebrating things, ones that we share, ones that are expected of us, ones that are unique and personal, ones that are forced on us, and ones that we enthusiastically embrace. Also, maybe ones that remain the same and ones that have changed or outdated and should be forgotten. And look at why do we do them? What do we have about them that we look forward to? Or do we approach them with dread? And perhaps what does this mean to us as people? What does it mean to our society? And then hopefully you'll reflect also on what celebrations mean to you and how you mark them. So I guess if someone has something to say, please go right ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking about how we have this odd celebration every year. We celebrate the anniversary of our first date. It's an oddity in that, you know, that it's 5 days after Valentine's Day. So we didn't do that usual first date on Valentine's Day, which sometimes can be a bomb out for some people, and sometimes it can be overly romantic or whatever, but we do it on a separate date, and we try to acknowledge that date by either watching our favorite movie from that weekend that we were out together, Kelly's Heroes, and we try to eat Chinese food, which we loved back then, and we do mm-hmm. a little dancing and listening to music. So those are kind of the three rituals that we have around mm-hmm. that particular celebration.
Yeah, kind of unique to us.
Yeah.
It's not really shared by other people, for sure.
So. But we have introduced it into our family. So our sons usually will acknowledge it by asking us when we're going to watch Kelly's Heroes again.
Yeah.
And that's how they ritualized that mm-hmm. that time for us.
Yeah, so sort of a personal one. I think as we grow up, we all have these rituals, our ceremonies, celebrations, whether it's birthdays, whether I mentioned Christmas, but of course that's unique to the Christian tradition. And some of them we embrace into adulthood and later adulthood. Others we feel are not meaningful. But they all have a place, either because they're there or because we adapt and adjust them. So,
I was thinking as you were talking, your example was very personal, but
yeah.
We were in Gimli for Canada Day, and it was a different feeling this year, Canada Day, I think. A lot of it, in some ways, related to how strongly Canadians have reacted to some of the world events that have been pressuring on us. Mm-hmm. But as well, I think that where we were, they had a little parade. We were with our daughter and son-in-law and our two grandchildren, and we went to watch the parade, and they were waving flags, and mm-hmm. Our granddaughter had some tattoos of the flag that we had found in the information center, and she was just all excited, and mm-hmm. the people in the parade were throwing freezies, and so that's sort of the detail, but I had a different sense of being Canadian this year as well, and it made me think of when I became a Canadian citizen. It was just before we were going to India, and I took out my Canadian citizenship because finally I was allowed to have dual citizenship as a U.S. citizen. And I remember going, driving to, taking my test and then passing and then driving to Edmonton to go get my citizenship certificates, papers. And it was really exciting. And then I came home and we had a little picnic. We took the kids and went on a picnic and celebrated my becoming a Canadian citizen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess thinking of that, I notice how it's also shifted a bit over the years. It, growing up, it used to be Canada Day, used to be, or was once called Dominion Day, for one thing.
Right.
Was always sort of very pro-Canada settlement, establishment of Confederation and so on. But with the more recent revelations of the residential schools mm-hmm. and the emphasis on reconciliation, it's, I think, you recognize that for many people it has real mixed feelings or even negative feelings. One thing I guess I appreciate is there doesn't seem to be a lot of pushback against people who don't celebrate Canada Day in a wild, wild way. I think there's some acceptance that, yeah, you know, this isn't the wild experience, especially for Indigenous communities, because of the history that we've imposed on them. So,
yeah, I think that it's got kind of this complicated aspect to it, right? That we're trying to honor what is good about Canadian life and to be in Canada, but that we have to recognize the colonization mm-hmm. aspect of that and to kind of hold that up as part of who we are as Canadians. And I think that's sure. really what the celebration should be about, is that we hold up both sides of who we are, right? And celebrate and acknowledge the good with the bad and the negativity and the positivity there too, right? So I think sometimes we have to look at that celebration aspect of Canada and reframe mm-hmm. what does that actually mean. And I think we do that with a lot of our celebrations and our, you know, celebrations of holidays, etc. We begin to reframe those experiences or those days around either some personal aspects or some communal kind of aspects, and we do that as we age as well, right? We reframe.
It becomes a bigger world context that we put it in. Mm-hmm. So
right. yeah.
so as we have moved forward, we've incorporated Hanukkah into our traditions,
yes.
Mm-hmm. in our family, lighting
yeah.
the Hanukkah candles and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, small pieces that that represent a broader sense of who we are than just a Christian country.
Right.
Or a country settled on Christian values. There's more to, like you're saying, Elaine, there's more to that picture than meets the eye sometimes.
Yeah, and I think I would say, for me, I give thanks to the education system, which has introduced a variety of different celebrations to our children, right? That in our grandchildren, you know, so that they can celebrate Indigenous days, they can celebrate mm-hmm. Christian days, they can celebrate and give thanks to our Muslim neighbors, right? And so mm-hmm. I think in some ways the education system helped to reframe how these celebrations are held in Canada and what they mean for the communal or the worldview of who we are as Canadians. Because sometimes we can get very rigid about what a holiday means, right? And I think some of us chafe at that. I'm thinking about Mother's Day, right? I mean, that I appreciate that I'm a mother and I appreciate that there's a Mother's Day symbolic day for that, but I don't really like to celebrate it. You know, it's something I chafe at on a regular basis. And part of that is because I don't have a mother and I haven't had a mother mm-hmm. since my mid-20s, right? But I do it. I try to reframe that day for my kids and my grandkids, right? And for my, and especially for the two other women in our family who are mm-hmm. mothers, right? I like to think that we're acknowledging their gifts to the family on those days too.
I wonder, though, a good thing there is you talked about the diversity in our culture. And so the openness to other celebrations rather than just one rigid fixed one. I think that also works on a personal level. Like you said, Mother's Day is really not a celebratory thing for you. There's probably others. For many, maybe birthdays are not something to really get excited about. Or maybe when we were little, we got really excited because we'd have friends over and we have the cake and all the good stuff. And as we kind of go through the ages and stages of life, probably maybe by now celebration of a birthday just reminds us of decline and and aging, and it's not so exciting anymore. So, you know, I think we allow ourselves more. We allow other people to be that way. You know, if some, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if somebody says, oh, I don't like birthdays, we don't, maybe we still jump all over them, and maybe we still dump on them for being too curmudgeonly. But I think there's a little more broadness and tolerance around, celebrations. So
birthdays, yeah. I wanted to just go back to Mother's Day for a minute because mm-hmm. that's Mother's Day is when I buy new running shoes.
Ah,
so that's
cool.
What, that's kind of my ritual around running. Mm-hmm. Mother's Day is mm-hmm. buying running shoes. Mm-hmm. This year, how many pairs did I buy? You're laughing, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jack.
I'd like to see you running
more. Yeah.
I can totally identify with you, Jack, because it was always, Rick, there was two times a year that he had to get running shoes. Right after he ran a marathon, because he needed a new pair,
yeah.
Right? And so then he had to have that. And then his birthday was the same way. His
birthday was the running
shoe. He got the next set of running shoes to trainers for the next marathon.
See, and isn't that good that there's that diversity? Can you imagine if all of society all had to buy running shoes on Mother's Day? Or, you know, because they'd be like, well, I don't want running shoes. That's okay. It's Mother's Day. You need running shoes. So it would sound bizarre. I guess that's the way we often approached celebrations in the past, especially big ones. But again, I think that's shifted in a good way. So,
not to be a Debbie Downer, but but
yes,
the whole notion of celebrations, formalized mm-hmm. times that are set aside to celebrate something, are often utilized by capitalism, if I could get political, to sell things.
Mm-hmm.
So they become marketing focused. And I think we succumb all too often to that marketing phenomena. Like whether it's Valentine's Day, going buying chocolate.
Yeah.
Or Easter and buying bunnies, chocolate bunnies, or whatever. Or Christmas, my God, that's an orgy of consumption.
That's when the economy takes off.
And you buy things even though the person doesn't need them. You just buy them out of compulsion, social compulsion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Society is imposing it on us. And most of us succumb to that pressure.
Yeah.
Myself included.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as you get older, I was thinking about this, as we get older, I should say we get older.
Yeah.
There's more ambiguity about the idea of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
It's more liminal in the sense that there's both sadness and joy associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always ambiguous, especially things like birthdays and, birthdays in particular, I was thinking, because, you know, at 75, the next one for me is 76.
Mm-hmm.
And then when do you stop celebrating that and see each birthday as another nail in the coffin, closer to one's demise? Now, maybe I lack the courage to celebrate, because in the face of that inevitable mortality, celebrating birthdays seems rather odd.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you reframe that to say, I'm still alive, I made it one more year. Do you know, and I guess, Jack, for me, what changed that kind of, gave me that reframing or that new understanding of that was the year that I passed my mother's age of when she died.
Right.
And I thought, and so every birthday after that for probably 10 years, I would say to myself, Well, I'm 3 years older than my mom was when she. I've made it 3 years more. I've made it 5 years. I've made it 10 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of. And then in between that, then I hit my dad's age when he died, because they were 12 years apart, right? And then I did the same thing there. I thought, I've outlived my dad, right? And now in my head, I'm thinking, gosh, I might even outlive some of my aunts and uncles and people who were eight older, right? And so I'm sort of saying to myself, I got one more year under my belt. I made it to 70. Right? I guess maybe the other thing that became a reality was last week when we made it to our 50th wedding anniversary. And I had a terrible dream about 4 days before. I never told Rick this, but I had a terrible dream thinking, God, what if something happens to us before our 50th anniversary? Yeah. We don't make, one of us doesn't make it, or, oh, wow. You know, all people will say was, well, she died just before their 50th wedding anniversary. So it would have been a Debbie Downer moment, right?
Yes.
But I made it through to that date, and I think to myself, my God, we made it to 50, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to look at it sort of in the opposite way, right? That
sure.
It gives me 1 year longer. Or I was thinking also about a friend of mine who had cancer, and I remember them saying when they made the second year,
Post remission, yeah.
Yeah, or when they made it to their daughter's wedding, or when they made it to their, like, they put these milestones in front of them, right? And so every little milestone was a big celebration, right? And I think that's part of who we are too, right? Is to mark the milestones, mm-hmm. Because of what's been happening in our lives too, right?
But not everybody is in that space.
No, you're right.
Right? I mean, I agree, and that's almost like...
Pollyanna?
Pollyanna. Well, no, I didn't say that. But
I did.
It's putting a positive spin on it, and I appreciate that, and I wish I could do that more. But formalized social celebrations, time frames that are somewhat sacralized, mm-hmm. I find myself overwhelmed with sadness. Mm-hmm. Like, Christmas is that time for me. And I don't think I'm alone in terms of an older person who find those kinds of celebrations, Christmas, I don't even think about Easter anymore, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Christmas especially, because it evokes memories of loss.
Right.
Of all that's been lost, and the wonderful Christmases I had as a child. Mm-hmm. And they're gone now. Mm-hmm. Not that that can't be somehow appropriated or approximated with grandkids, for example, now. Mm-hmm. That's joyful. But those kind of celebrations, I just want to go away in solitude, mm-hmm. and not be swept up in the commercialized enthusiasm of it. Mm-hmm. So I want to make time my own now, not belonging to external market forces or whatever. And that, so they're always a very lonely, solitude-seeking time for me. Mm-hmm. And that's neither good nor bad, right? No. It's just who I am.
Yeah. But to me, that's sort of part of what the function of celebrations can be, even if we don't see them in a very positive kind of, you know, get all the gang together and whoop it up kind of way. It does still provide us some opportunity, whether to be, you know, alone and reflective and even perhaps, you know, sad about it, or whether we want to use it as a time to gather family and be positive. Very different example, again, going back to Canada Day, we don't usually go out to the big celebratory events and the fireworks and the big communal gatherings. When we go to a park or something as a couple, we enjoy seeing others there who are celebrating, but it tends to be more of a quieter time for us. But it still gives us the celebratory time, gives us that opportunity. So I'm not trying to diminish what you feel, but I just think that's why having celebration times, whether they're unique and personal, or whether they are something more societal or national, can give us that opportunity to reflect on life and meaning and nostalgia. And maybe we don't all look forward to them. I agree. Yeah.
You made me think about Canada Day The only time I think I remember it being so exciting was the year we moved to Thunder Bay.
Oh, yeah.
And we had moved there, and we it was at the end of the school year, and we moved there, and so we didn't really have any connections to people or anything. And so we thought, well, let's go
to Chippewa Park
with the kids and just see what Canada Day's like in Thunder Bay or whatever.
Remember that park?
And in the first 15 minutes there, we never heard one word of English.
The different groups
that were gathering, right?
Yeah.
All spoke different. And one of our children turned to us and said, "Are we still in Canada?" And we said, "Yes, we are." Yeah. And they were like 6 years old, right? So they kind of, and it was such a vivid experience of who we are as Canada. And I've carried that. That's been my big main sort of feeling about Canada in a lot of years. Otherwise, I'm not celebrating it either. Like it's.
And when we were in Gimli, that was my experience. I think my experience of walking up and down along the beach is that there was not a word of English spoken, hardly.
I know.
It was amazing. It was wonderful.
It was so exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, not to be Pollyannish or not to be a Debbie Downer again. Canada Day scares me. Because we live close to the elephant to the south, who celebrates nationalism and American pride to the horror of the rest of the world, much of the rest of the world. In other words, there's a downside to celebrating our nationality because it always implies exclusion.
Yeah.
Though it doesn't have to, as you were saying, we're very much, and I'm very proud of the multinationalism that is our country. Mm-hmm. But it can be carried away, you can get carried away with it, and it can become exceedingly dangerous. Mm-hmm. Especially when you wouldn't dare in the U.S. to do anything to the flag, which is a symbol of nationalist pride.
Well, you could wear it as a bathing suit, though.
Yeah, that's okay. Wear it as a bathing suit.
And a shirt, swim cap.
But
Well, I think in that instance, you're pointing out the downside, or the downside of any celebration. Like I think, you know, back to the idea of Christmas when I was very young. I mean, basically, everybody in the town, it wasn't that large a town, had to go to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, because if you didn't, what the heck was wrong with you, right? And that's not the expectation anymore. It's not that societal forcing. And I think that's the other side of celebrations, if we can celebrate the diversity rather than the exclusion. So,
I think the reality is that for all of us, for whatever reasons, there are holidays or celebrations that do bring those feelings of sadness or feeling separate or isolated or just not into it, just not your thing. And for whatever reasons, then you've got to struggle along with it and figure out
and just get through the day.
How to get. Sure. Yeah, exactly. How to get through the day and what does that take? That takes really, paying attention to what you're feeling, paying attention to those around you, making an effort to connect, making an effort to find some meaning in there, which can be hard and which can be overwhelming. So I think that every sort of celebration or holiday has its, as we're saying, its very beautiful positive things about it that we can see and some very negative things that we can see.
And maybe also be open to see that the perspective we have now is different from the one we had years ago.
For sure.
And it can also change, be open to the possibility that it will change in the future. Maybe for the worse, but hopefully for the better. You know, talking about change, I mean, when I was in a child and into my teen years, if someone would have given me a pair of socks as a gift for my birthday, it would have been horrible. It would have ruined the whole birthday celebration. Whereas now, new pair of socks is just great. Oh, they're awesome. Yeah.
Running socks.
Now the question is, can I get them on?
That's right.
Well, yeah. And then we need the kind of socks that you can.
Are they wide enough?
Are they wide enough? Yeah. That's
and
right.
Can yeah. I get them off?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. I think as an elder, for me personally, I think I want to claim for myself my own relationship with time.
Mm-hmm.
It, so often it's dictated by powerful forces that have inserted into culture, into, let's say, Canadian culture, mm-hmm. certain marked days. And it's impositional. I just find it impositional, and I would rather not be bothered with it. Because, as you were saying, every occasion has a both dark and light side. And more often than not, it evokes in me personally the dark side
mm-hmm.
of sadness and loneliness. So I just stay away from those, unless I'm drawn into them, and then I do try to find some positivity about them. Even birthdays, like if I remember correctly, and if any of my relatives ever listen, correct me if I'm wrong, but my mother did not like birthdays. She didn't want us to celebrate her birthday.
Mm.
And I don't know why. So maybe I'm just a Debbie Downer inheriting that kind of idea.
I think that part of that is the responsibility of a parent, perhaps, to try to make the birthday fun for the kids or fun
yes,
for everyone
exactly.
else, or to make it mm-hmm. be a positive thing. And I think that's where I've struggled sometimes is how do I make this birthday fun and enjoyable for people, or at least an aspect of it. One of the ways that I've done that is to determine what kind of cake or whatever every person likes in mm-hmm. the family and make it for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so everybody gets a different, Jack likes his lemon meringue pie with graham cracker crust.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
And mine is definitely a lemon tort. I love lemon.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is all for the salted caramel chocolate cake, which has taken me a while to get a mastery of, but there we go.
Yeah.
Our granddaughter is vanilla on vanilla, and so I found great recipes for that cake. So it's a lot of fun, I think, to do that, to make the thing that they especially love for their birthday. And
yeah.
Yeah, more than the gift sometimes,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think because we don't do a lot of gift sharing for birthdays, but coming together.
Yeah.
And what I love now is that we've introduced cupcakes into our world.
Cupcakes are fun.
And cupcakes are fun. And so they're smaller pieces, and people can choose if they want chocolate or vanilla ice cream.
But
we have a boring sense of colors, sorry, flavors.
Well, and I think that's part of what celebrations provide, is a break from the usual and the routine. And sometimes it means a special focus on, say, the person you're celebrating that day.
Mm-hmm.
Or if on a larger scale, I mean, if you think of a lot of the people who are in the workforce, I mean, you know, the idea of a long weekend or an extra day off, whether they celebrate, say, Canada Day or with Thanksgiving or something in the traditional way, or just want a day off. It gives a break from that usual routine. And I think that's what celebrations can do. You know, whether it gathers people together, whether it allows us to take a break from our work schedule and our occupations, whether it means getting a special pie or cake. I think that's one of the real important personal and societal functions of celebratory days. You know, that you can, it allows you to take a moment, and sometimes to be different, and to be different in whatever way possible. Yeah.
And to detach from whatever that particular celebration is about, right? Again, mm-hmm. like you're saying, Jack, you get an opportunity to detach from that and to have a quiet moment without it, right? And I think that's just as important, right, that we mm-hmm. would spend the time doing that.
Yeah, and for sure, like one thing popped into my head just now is that I know for some people, the most meaningful part to, say, Christmas or Thanksgiving, I'm using those two specifically as often, there's an opportunity to go somewhere and provide a special meal to people who are, say, underemployed or houseless or, you know, living below the poverty line, you know, and often community groups will provide that meal maybe a day, a couple days a week before. But you talk to people who participate in that, not just the recipients, but those who are providing it. For them, that's part of the most meaningful time. You know, so it's a matter of serving, but it still also marks that special occasion and brings some joy and meaningfulness to them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's always ways of transforming celebratory times and viewing them positively. At the same time, formalized calendar celebrations are there because of the victors, let's say, in history, who have designated that particular time to be somehow semi-sacred, if not sacred. And that's what I object against. Mm-hmm. I'd like to take my own periods of time to celebrate when it's evocative for me personally, not when somehow it should. Anyway, I'm just a real Debbie Downer today. So,
but you know what? I was thinking about that in terms of the historical perspective.
Well,
right?
Especially Canada Day, right?
Yeah, but what I really appreciate, one of my favorite podcasters, writers, is Letters to the American by...
of an American, yeah.
Letters of an American. By Heather Cox Richardson, right? Okay. And what I love about her blogs and her podcasts is that she always introduces a specific kind of date in American history or in Europe, in world history or whatever, and relates that to whatever's happening today, right? And I appreciate that, you know, there's a lot of things like military days or whatever, those aren't my things, right? But when she talks about a particular moment in history around maybe a social justice issue or whatever, then my ears pick up and I think, okay, this is something that is wonderful to commemorate in this moment, right? And to have a conversation about this or to have a dialogue with somebody else about what does this mean or whatever. And so in some ways, when we get caught up in that made up kind of formalized time, we lose sight of all the other moments that could be celebrations or reflective times or a way to honor particular aspects of our lives or the world.
Yeah, or times of remembrance and protest. I'm thinking now,
yeah.
I mean, you think back 30, 40 years ago, there was no such thing as Pride Month, Pride parades. Mm-hmm. All grew out of a protest in New York Stonewall, when the police were raiding, they're raiding a place and the victims there decide to stand up and protest, which developed into pride parades. But now, because of social changing pushback, it's already being emphasized a little more as not just a celebratory of affirmation of gay, lesbian, transgendered communities, but also back as a protest again. And so that's I think where a celebration, the meaning of it can shift and sometimes shift very quickly, but also be a real positive force in our society. I mean, I think it's awesome to see, you know, the amount of people, I believe it was in Budapest, even though being gay marriage has been banned
over
there or something,
100,000 people.
Huge protest they had there, again, basically telling their premier, prime minister, their government, you know, we don't care. This is who we are, and we're protesting against you and your repressive policies. So, yeah, some celebrations, I think, are just, you know, where the victors are just sort of thumping at their chests. But I think there are other ones, like this is an example, where it really has some deep meaning and, you know, really moves our society and our consciousness forward. Yeah. So, Well, there's individual and personal ones, too. There's ones, you know, that nobody else really cares about. Like, say you finished renovating your kitchen. I mean, that's a reason to celebrate. Yeah.
Because it's a painful experience yeah. for us.
Or maybe you just got a new puppy, right? And then, yeah, there's something to celebrate there. Even if you don't celebrate it every year, you still sort of take a little moment to mark that time and say, okay, this has been done. This is an accomplishment. And even if no one else shares in it, without sounding a little bit whiny here myself, when I got my undergrad degree from the university, nobody in the family except for Elaine really cared. You know, even though I had been pushed for years to go to university, get a higher education, when I'd accomplished this, you know, everyone, yeah, okay, yeah, it's kind of almost like a who do you think you are kind of thing. Now you think you're special. And I went, oh, well, that sure doesn't help me. On the other hand, I still went down to the graduation ceremonies, far away from where I was working, and celebrated because it was meaningful to me. So
I don't think I ever went to a graduation ceremony.
Yeah. They're long and they go on and on. Yeah.
But I think because of family history, we do. Because yeah. our families didn't get past 8th and 10th grade educations, right? So there was never that moment in that period. But so then we had parents who pushed and pushed for us to be in post-secondary education. And we thought that meant also the celebration part of it, right? Whereas the family thought, I mean, the parents thought, just the accomplishment of actually getting that degree done was important enough that would get lead you to a job, right? And the celebration wasn't necessary. And we were like, no, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can still think about when you finished your STM, right? And you it was so painful from January until you handed it in March, right?
The thesis,
for you to
yeah.
finish the thesis, right? And then when you got the recognition or the letter saying that you were going to be having this degree conferred on you, you said, oh, that's really nice and everything. And I said, yeah, it's nice because we're all going to drive from Thunder Bay to Saskatoon. And go on this, go and see this, right? No, we don't have to do that. I said, no, we're doing it, right? And wouldn't you know it, that's the year that Tom Cochrane released the song Life is a Highway.
Yeah, cool.
And so we got in our great GMC van, right? And we heard it, one of our children said one time, it was played 11 times on the radio and we sang it all 11 times from Thunder Bay to Saskatoon. And so that's our memory of...
Mm-hmm.
Driving
to the STM
so Rick
ceremony.
Could go to the yeah so Rick could go to the STM's ceremony, right?
Yes, yeah. So it was again, and that one ceremony was not terribly meaningful to me. It was more meaningful to the rest of the family because they had to suffer along with me as I went through this process. So yeah, so sometimes if a celebration isn't that meaningful to you, it can be meaningful to others involved, other family or friends. So that's something to think about too. Yeah. And I think with that, we should leave it, except to say you probably have your own moments of celebration, personal accomplishments or others that you feel are significant, and it'd be good to reflect on it. And again, if you have the opportunity perhaps to... let us know what
leave a
you
comment.
Come up with. Leave a comment.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing or listening to us today.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find us under Seniors in the Building on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, RRS Feed Community, and possibly wherever you listen to other podcasts. We'd like to thank Thomas Waschenfelder for our logo design. As well, thanks to Amy Waschenfelder and collaborator Natasha Fransblow for our musical jingle for the podcast. We really appreciate their input, and we appreciate the support of all of our families in this endeavor, for listening, for reviews, for tech support, and love. Our email is foursseniorsinthebuilding@gmail.com. That's the numeral 4, followed by seniorsinthebuilding, lowercase, all one word. We'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, stay curious and hopeful.